talk about this in a little bit more detail, as well as some of the crazy weather that we've had just in the month of August, and find out if we get any more in store for this month of September. Is a person who joins us the first Tuesday of every month. He is the chief meteorologist at WFSB Channel 3, Bruce DePriest. Bruce, good morning.
Gary, good morning. How are you doing?
Pretty good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Certainly a lot happened since the last time we talked.
Hey, I got to tell you, you were on with us last month. So that first Tuesday also was the very same day that Isais decided rear her ugly head here in Connecticut. So I wanted to give you kudos because you predicted that storm head on. I mean, you said the storm was going to pass to the west, and that therefore we would end up getting a lot more wind than we would rain. We would get some rain, but it was going to be the wind that could potentially cause the most damage. And sure enough, you hit it. You nailed it right on the spot.
Yeah, that was a very strong tropical storm, Gary. You know, it did pass to the west of Connecticut, and that puts us on the bad side because you have to add the forward component of the storm in addition to the southerly wind coming in on the east side of it. We had gusts up to a hurricane force, 75 miles an hour.
Wow, 75.
Even though it was a tropical storm, you can still get winds gusting up to a hurricane force. And I remember West Haven had a gust of 75 miles an hour. And you look at all the damage that that caused. You know, we're still trying to sort things out where Isaias stands in terms of the worst power outage on record. If it was 900,000 customers without power, that would be the worst. Mm-hmm. Right now in first place, I believe, is that October snowstorm back in 2011 when we had over 880,000 customers without power.
Yeah, who could forget that? Did you, I know you're in Weathersfield. Did you lose any power at your place?
We did for a couple of days. I thought it was going to be a little bit longer, but we got it back a little bit over 48 hours later.
Yeah.
And I have a gasoline generator, which worked well. My wife loves to bake, and she had the freezer stored with all kinds of goodies, so I had to protect it with the generator.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we just lost it for a little over 48 hours as well in Newington. And we don't have a generator, but we were able to save some of the food because we have a big freezer we have in our basement. We didn't open that once. And I think it could save for about 24 hours. So we did lose some food. We tried to open the refrigerator in our kitchen at very, very, very minimal. And I think we were able to save most of it. But I got to tell you, we were looking at it. My wife and I were looking at each other like, if this goes one more day, I don't know.
That's pushing your luck at that point in time. But there was so much food that was lost overall.
Restaurants, too, yeah.
Restaurants, grocery stores, all that food was lost. It's a shame.
I would hope that grocery stores would have generators. Now, you know, there was a storm last week in which a couple of tornadoes hit down. Now, the first storm, the one that Isais, boy, you and I got the brunt of it, but some people in the state, some people didn't lose power at all. Just the opposite. I really wasn't too affected by the storm last week where, you know, Christian, our producer, he was severely affected by it.
Yeah, you know, tornadoes are more local events than tropical storms or hurricanes. Tropical storms and hurricanes can cover several states all at once where, you know, a tornado is limited to several towns and just portions of the towns. So, yeah, it was that swath right there from Hamden through North Haven into Brantford and Guilford. Mm-hmm. It was either a tornado, depending on where you live, or a microburst. And, of course, there was another tornado confirmed in Kent that very same day. But that was an EF1 tornado with winds of 110 miles an hour that moved along a path of 11.1 miles from North Brantford to Hamden, I should say, to North Haven. That is a fairly large track tornado. And, you know, 110 miles an hour, if you add one more mile an hour, that is an EF2 tornado. So this was a high-end EF1 tornado.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a nasty one.
Well, I guess that begs the question, now that we're in September, and I know we're technically still in hurricane season, what is on the horizon for us? What are you looking at long-term here in this month?
Well, that's a good question. The peak of the hurricane season is usually right around the second week of September. So we're still heading into the peak, and the season does not end until November 30th. And of course, you know, in past years, we've had some activity here in Connecticut, even in October. And one example is Sandy back in 2012. So, you know, right now there is some activity going on in the tropical Atlantic. We have a tropical depression, which is off the coast of the Carolinas, which is going to move out to sea well to the south of New England. If that gets a name, if it develops into a tropical storm, then that would be called Nana, Tropical Storm Nana. If it develops into a tropical storm, yeah, we're all the way up through M.
Wow.
It's hard to believe. It's been a very, very active season. So, you know, over the next 2 weeks, I was just kind of checking some long-range models, and it looks like we may be okay for the next couple of weeks, but beyond that, there's no guarantees. Of course, Gloria hit us on September 27th.
I remember that.
In 1985. So that was, you know, in late September. And, of course, Sandy was in late October. So we have to keep our guard up. You know, we have to be prepared, just like we had to be prepared for ECES. And that was a tropical storm. You know, I was talking to Christian before you and I went on, and I said, can you imagine what would happen if a Category 2 or 3 hurricane came up and hit Connecticut? How long we'd be without power? How many trees we would lose?
Oh, man.
It's like we're not even prepared for a worst-case scenario.
That's sad. What do we need to do, do you think, to be more prepared?
You know, first of all, and I know it's hard to do, and it's so easy to say, you know, put more power lines underground if we can. It's a very expensive thing. I believe I heard some kind of number, $3 million per mile to do something like that.
Oh.
But, you know, I've heard several things, like in the Virgin Islands, they're using this composite material for poles that is much stronger than the wood poles that we have. And they could withstand winds of up to 150 miles an hour. So, I mean, there's several ways we could bolster our system, you know, make the poles stronger, because they got a lot of weight on them anyway with all those wires.
Mm.
So all you need is a real heavy branch to come down, and then that's it. So, you know, I really don't know what the answer is. I guess the simple answer is to put things underground.
Cable companies do that.
Some
cable companies do that. We're talking with Bruce DePriest, Chief Meteorologist, WFSB Channel 3. You know, I was looking at the weather a week or so ago, and particularly what was happening in the Gulf of Mexico, and looking at Louisiana and Texas, and you had those two hurricanes, and Laura looked gigantic. Now, the last I heard, and this is a few days old, but certainly you don't want any deaths. But I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we can lose 100 people here. I mean, easily. Oh, that is just devastating. And then I saw it was like 6 people. Now, granted, any is a lot, especially if you're a member of the family who just lost somebody.
Right.
But I thought, all things considered, it could have been far worse. As far as deaths, what about the devastation to property along there?
Oh, it was really bad. Of course, you know, that's in an area where there's a lot of wildlife refuges.
Mm.
And, you know, so that may have eliminated some of the population that could have been impacted by the storm.
Oh.
Lake Charles was hit hard, but if that hurricane hit 100 miles to the east and, you know, impacted New Orleans head on, that would have been a completely different story. But as far as the number of deaths being limited, people probably heeded the warnings. You know, they saw how big the storm was. It was gaining strength. You know, some people like to stay with their property, but my guess is that a lot of people just heeded the warning and got out.
That's good. That's why the numbers were low. How often, how common is it to have two hurricanes merge into one super hurricane?
Well, Marco kind of fizzled before Laura arrived, so that was good news there. It kind of came up and it weakened and then fizzled. So that it weakened, but you know, at the same time, the atmospheric conditions aloft became very ripe for Laura to form as it moved into the area where Marco weakened. And the water was warm, very warm. I mean, the water this year is unusually warm, and that's one reason why we have such an active hurricane season. But also the shear that will tear apart a hurricane was minimal by the time Laura hit. So it was still strengthening or holding its own as a very strong Category 4 hurricane when it made landfall on Louisiana. And I was looking at the pattern of the hurricane. And, you know, when you look at it on a radar or from satellite, it's a beautiful thing. And Laura was just this concentric hurricane that was perfectly formed. It had an eye wall that was perfect. But, you know, within that eye wall, there's devastating winds of 150 miles an hour. So all the conditions were right for that thing to just take off and, you know, hit Louisiana as almost a Category 5 hurricane.
Wow.
Category 5 starts at 157 miles an hour.
Is that 157 miles an hour?
Yes, and Category 4, Laura was 150 miles an hour.
All right, so how common are those around here?
Here in Connecticut, the strongest, as far as the strongest hurricane, was back in 1938 that hit New England head-on, and that was a Category 3. Now, normally, when, you know, the hurricanes get up around our latitude, they're starting to get into more shear. They also start to encounter warmer or cooler water, which weakens them. However, the danger for us is that they increase in forward speed. So it's kind of a hard thing to explain, yeah. But sometimes the increase in forward speed will compensate for the weakening of the hurricane. So, and it also gives us far less time to prepare. You know, when a hurricane's barreling up the coast at highway speed, which they can, then it takes, you know, you don't have a lot of time to get away from the coastline because that storm is bearing down on you very, very fast. So we're vulnerable here.
Mm.
Could we get a Category 4 someday, you know, if climate change is real? And apparently there's a lot of things going on. We just had a very hot summer, and that's been the trend lately. You know, could a Category 4 hurricane happen? Sure. Right now I would say that the top end would be a Category 3, but you never know. You never say never.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We're here on September 1st. And I asked you a little while ago about an outlook, you know, for the, and it was two more weeks before we hit the peak as far as hurricane season is concerned. Let's talk a little bit about temperature change, you know, that we would typically get this time of year as we exit the meteorological summer. You know, as I know, today begins a new season, and not necessarily on the calendar, but the meteorological calendar. Today would be the beginning of the autumn season. Let's talk about the temperature differential between today, September 1st, and let's just say September 30th. What time are we? What temperature changes are we looking for?
That's a really good question because, you know, during the month of September, we lose a lot of daylight.
Yeah.
In fact, we've already lost over 2 hours of daylight since the beginning of the summer season.
That's sad.
And, you know, we're losing daylight at the rate of 2 to 3 minutes per day now. So it's a rapid daylight loss. What normally occurs during the month of September is that you start out the month with normal highs in the low 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the month, you're in the upper 60s.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the 70s. wait a minute here. What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
60s?
You go from near 80 to near 70. There's a loss of at least 10 degrees in the normal high from the beginning of September to the end, from the low 80s to the upper 60s. Near 70. Yeah.
I remember some October days where it's gotten around, you know, 80 or low 80s even. And that's in October.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've actually had 90 degrees, believe it or not, in October. I think the latest occurrence of a 90-degree temperature for the greater Hartford area is either October 17th or the 19th.
Mm.
So it can happen. But, you know, in October, you go from the upper 60s to the 50s before
the man, you just...
I know.
It just depressed me.
Honestly,
losing the sunlight, you know. In our remaining minutes here, you mentioned 90-degree temperatures. This summer, we had a plethora of them, if I'm not mistaken. Are we at about 39?
Right on the button. 39, which is an all-time record. We surpassed the record of 38 days, 90 or higher, that was set in 1983, and we have 39. I say, let's make it 40. Let's round it off. If you're going to have a record, you might as well have a good one.
You know, yeah. Listen, I'll take one more day. I think it's just a nice round number. Let's do, you know, what is there a chance of that even happening?
There is a chance. You know, Thursday, for example, if we get enough sunshine, we could see temperatures approaching 90. But it gets a little bit more difficult, you know, as we go through the month of September. However, September, you know, we've had some, excuse me, we've had some 100-degree readings, too, in early September. So, you know, the heat can happen. We'll have to keep an eye on Thursday to see if we can approach that 90 mark.
You know, we laugh at that, but how serious do you think that is?
It is serious. You know, I mean, heat is, I'm sick of it, quite honestly, for the summer. I say bring on fall. I know a lot of people don't want that because they know what comes after.
Yeah.
But I say bring on fall, and the last couple of days to me have been a real treat. But, you know, it is serious. It causes a lot of electric bills. I've heard people tell me that their electric bill was in the $500s.
Oh!
$800 in 1 month.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, and my electric bill was over $400 in 1 month, and it's all about the air conditioning.
Yeah, well.
So, you know, that does cost people a lot of money, and, you know, heat, my understanding is that heat results in more deaths than does cold weather.
And discomfort, particularly with our elderly. Bruce, you just knocked it right out of the park. We love having you on. You are a listener favorite. I look forward to next month and having some fun once again.
And hopefully we won't be talking about something bad at that point.
Yeah, right, exactly.
In between. We need to spell up quiet. There's just too much going on between all these storms, you know, tornadoes, tropical storms, and, you know, you mix that in with COVID. I think people have just had enough.
I'm with you, my friend. You got it. All right. We'll talk then. How about that?
All right. That's a deal.
Thanks so much for being with us this morning, and have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.